MLB Pipeline has updated their top 100 prospects list. Who moved up? Who moved down? And why did they do Kumar Rocker so dirty? Let's talk about it.
You are Locked On MLB Prospects, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on in to Locked On MLB Prospects, your home for all things minor league baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, freelance baseball writer and podcaster. Thank you for making this your first listen every single day. We're proudly part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day, and everybody is talking about the new MLB Pipeline Top 100 Prospects list. They put it out, obviously, in the offseason. They update it in May. They update it usually around late June, early July, and then they do one after the draft. And so this is the first big movement that we've seen from Pipeline, just like we got Baseball America's earlier in the week. Looking at the top of the list, little bit of shuffling here, little bit of moving around, really interesting where guys are on this list versus the Baseball America list. So the number one prospect in all of baseball, according to MLB Pipeline, is outfielder and third baseman Jordan Walker of the St. Louis Cardinals. We saw him come up early in the year. I actually drafted him in redraft, just went ahead, got him right away. Looked very promising early, started to struggle at the plate offensively, had larger than expected struggles defensively playing right field. And so late April, he gets sent down to AAA. And in AAA, things haven't necessarily gone fantastically for Jordan Walker. They're trying to get him. The big issue he had at the big league level is the power is ridiculous. He can absolutely crush a baseball, but he was putting the ball on the ground way too much. Obviously, it's a lot harder to get a base hit if you hit the ball on the ground right to a defender versus just spraying a line drive into the gap. So when he went down to Memphis, they wanted him to play right field every single day, for hope that his defense gets better, as well as focus on elevating the ball, getting it up in the air versus hitting ground balls. Going through Tuesday, stats through Tuesday in AAA, he is 13 of 61. That's a .213 batting average with one home run and four extra base hits in those 16 games. Nine walks to 16 strikeouts. He's still struggling with elevating the ball. On base percentage, .338. So, he's walking, plenty. Slugging percentage of .312. He's very, very much struggling with this swing change. Despite that, MLB Pipeline still says the combination of tools, the defense, which you don't need him to be a gold glove defender in right. You just need him to be, average in right field. The arm is big, but he's there to hit tanks. So they have him as number one. Baseball America had him at number two because Baseball America had the other guy at number one, Jackson Churio, the outfielder for the Milwaukee Brewers. He is number two to Baseball America. I'm sorry, number two to MLB Pipeline. I'm going to do that a few times this show, just heads up on that. And Churio is in a little bit of a different situation. He had that incredibly fast climb at his age 18 year. Started off in single A, got 62 games in Carolina, then got 31 games at high A Wisconsin, and finished with like a week in double A Biloxi at age 18 last year. And the collective slash line for that whole thing was .288, .342, .538. They sent him back to double A Biloxi this year, the Milwaukee Brewers did. And in those 32 games, age 19 for Jackson Churio, .273, .315, .424, five home runs, 10 extra base hits, nine walks to 32 strikeouts, 10 for 10 on stolen bases. He is their center fielder of the future. He's not yet having the impact that you would expect from a guy who was a number one or a number two prospect. And MLB Pipeline kind of pointed out that fantastic power-speed combo. He's only 19 years old. There's no reason to worry about this yet. There's absolutely not. So he is still in their top two. They have him at number two versus number one. And I think part of that may just be proximity to the bigs. I say it may be proximity to the bigs, but the number three prospect to MLB pipeline in all of baseball is shortstop Jackson Holliday of the Baltimore Orioles. We talked about him just the other day. He's already in High A Aberdeen at either 18 or 19. And Tuesday night, the game was shortened. It was called after five innings due to rain. He was 3-for-3 with six RBIs and was a single short of the cycle when the game was called. So Jackson Holliday's handling High A perfectly fine. Not a lot of concerns there so far. Obviously, you've got a little bit of time before you worry about him getting to the bigs. It's probably going to be at least 2 years. But Jackson Holliday's looking very good. I understand Baseball America had him at six. MLB Pipeline has him at three. Either way, it feels like it's kind of hard to argue with wherever you want to put him. Ellie De La Cruz is the number four prospect in baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. Baseball America had him three, so it's right around the same area. And we talked about this just the other day. Actually, we talked about it yesterday. My everydayers who listen to the Prospect Team of the Week show, we talked about the improvement that Ellie De La Cruz has made in AAA with the strikeout rate and with the walk rate. He's raised his walk rate and he's lowered his strikeout rate. In the past, he was a guy that batted 300 at like every single level, despite striking out like 30% of the time at every single level. In the month of May, in AAA Louisville, he's had a series against the Omaha Storm Chasers, a series against the Columbus Clippers, and one game against the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp at time of recording. He is 19 of 52. That's a 365 batting average, folks. 11 walks to 11 strikeouts gives him a 484 on base percentage. 5 home runs, 9 total extra base hits in those 19 games. So just about every other hit is for extra bases. 3 of 7 on stolen bases. I'm not quite sure why he's been caught 4 times. Feels like that's just, he's never really necessarily struggled like that. But he's splitting his time pretty evenly. Like it's almost an exact pattern of 3 games at short, 3 games at third. He opens the series with 3 games at short, and then he moves to third for 3 games. Now that Matt McClain has been promoted to Cincinnati, we'll see if that trend holds, because Matt McClain was playing 3 games at second and then 3 games at short. So we'll see what happens there. But Ellie De La Cruz's slugging in the month of May is a 731. He's finally answering the questions about is he going to adjust the approach before he gets to the bigs as far as to keep the batting average up but to cut down the strikeouts. He made the adjustment. He's looking better than ever. I did find it really interesting that they moved around some of the pitchers. It's kind of because of injury. I get it. Grayson Rodriguez is now the number one pitching prospect in baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. Obviously, he's going to graduate from this list soon. He's at number six. Yuri Perez is right behind him at number seven, with Andrew Painter at number 12. Andrew Painter obviously been out for a while because of injury, so we're hoping to see him soon. But in the meantime, those other two guys, if everything holds, should graduate this year. A guy that we don't talk about enough on this show, and we'll have to find an opportunity to feature him for a longer segment. The number five prospect in baseball, according to MLB Pipeline, is Marcelo Meyer of the Boston Red Sox. Find it really interesting. He's doing well. If you look at what he's doing in High A Greenville, and I'll admit, I wasn't an incredibly high believer in Marcelo Meyer as far as, I thought he was good. I don't necessarily think he was a top prospect in baseball. I was worried about the speed, for him being able to stick it short, and about his ability to hit for power. Well, in High A Greenville, 25 games right now. 314, 400, 543. 4 home runs, 15 extra base hits, 14 walks to 28 strikeouts, and 4 of 6 on stolen bases. Marcelo Meyer, definitely a believer. We owe him a longer segment on this show. In just a minute, I want to talk about some of the biggest risers in this system, who took significant jumps, and why. But first, today's episode is brought to you by our new sponsor, Bird Dogs. I mentioned this yesterday, but I work from home, okay? I don't have to wear pants if I don't want to. Now, I do. I do wear pants and shorts and things like that because I want to walk the dog, stuff like that. But like, I have prioritized comfort while working from home. All my shorts used to be like, you know, khakis and things like that. And now I'm at the point of I want the most comfortable option that is still flattering, looks good. That has been Bird Dogs for me. I can wake up in the morning, take a shower, pop on a pair of Bird Dogs, and I feel comfortable to do whatever it may be. It could be walking the dog. It could be running to the store, going out to a restaurant to grab something to eat, going to the golf course, going to a baseball game and sitting in a press box. Like, no matter what I do, I feel comfortable that I look good and I feel good in Bird Dogs. So go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. When you enter promo code LOCKEDONMLB, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style metal tumbler with every single order. The website's great. They've got shorts. They've got pants. They've got joggers. The names are hilarious. So go check it out. Again, birddogs.com/LOCKEDONMLB. Use promo code LOCKEDONMLB for a free gift in your order. Again, that's birddogs.com/LOCKEDONMLB. Okay, looking at biggest risers from MLB Pipeline's top 100 update. The guy who made the biggest jump on this list from 96 to number 60 is Junior Caminero of the Tampa Bay Rays. We talked about this in a mailbag, I think, last week, and I said, yeah, I'm pretty confident he'll be a top 50 prospect. And the question I got was, will he be top 25? And I said, I don't necessarily know if he will. Well, it looks like I was wrong on that, folks. Junior Caminero is in high A, Bowling Green at age 19, and he is handling the assignment. 28 games so far this season. 372, 427, 735. 9 home runs, 20 extra base hits. 3 of those are triples. 8 walks to 27 strikeouts, 2 of 3 on stolen bases. He's hitting for average. He's hitting for power. We talk about the 3-4-5 slash line. He's dangerously close to a 4-4-57 slash. Like, it's nuts. 735 slugging is absurd. At this rate, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him in double A by the midpoint of the summer. Give him a chance to go to Montgomery. I think part of the reason that that may not have already happened is they're a little nervous about those sticky balls in double A, those tacky baseballs, and what it's been doing for the pitchers. And so maybe they're waiting for that experiment to be over to send him back. But either way, Junior Caminero has been fantastic. Our boy Zach Neto, the Los Angeles Angels, their starting shortstop and leadoff hitter now, has moved up 35 spots from 78 to 43. And then 2 Seattle Mariners prospects moved up 25 spots. Shortstop Cole Young went from 95 to 70. And then pitcher Bryce Miller went from 86 to 61. And with the news of Mason Miller's elbow injury, he has a UCL strain, which is wild to me. And so they're hoping he can come back this year, but he's getting a lot of rest for it right now. Bryce Miller is the one true Miller right now. There can be only one. But I want to take a second and point out how good the Seattle Mariners pitching development has been. So they already got Logan Gilbert and George Kirby to the bigs, okay? They're both starters. They're both pitching well. Matt Brash is up there as a reliever. He was a trade acquisition versus a draftee, but still. So Gilbert, first rounder in 2018. Kirby, first rounder in 2019. Bryce Miller was a fourth rounder in 2021, and those three guys are all in the rotation right now. Obviously, losing Robbie Ray to injury presents some of that opening, but you've got those three guys. You've got, I believe it's Marco Gonzalez and then Luis Castillo. They went out and got via trade last year. I've already given him a contract extension. He's the elder statesman of the rotation at age 30. But there's still a bunch of other fantastic pitching talent in this minor league system. Brian Wu has multiple times been a runner-up, an honorable mention in the prospect team of the week. He's in Double A Arkansas. there was a lot of teams like that called and asked for him in trade talks. He was, according to GM Jerry Dipoto, who was on Locked On Mariners a while back, great episode, he was the most asked for player in trade negotiations. And it was he was asked for from those teams that are particularly adept and very good at identifying pitching and developing pitching. So they held on to him. It's something where his profile is a little bit lower as far as the prospect rankings because he didn't really start throwing in pro ball until last June because he had Tommy John surgery. But single A, high A, Arizona Complex League last year, got like 57 total innings, and then is just absolutely killing it this year. There in double A along with him, you've got Emerson Hancock. In the bullpen in double A Arkansas, you've got Prelander Baroa, who I think could possibly end up being your future closer. You've got Isaiah Campbell, who is to me, a promising guy, probably a ceiling of a setup man, but either way, very promising reliever there. And we don't talk about relievers a lot on this show. Relieving prospects isn't really a thing we get into. And then you've got Taylor Dollard in AAA. So the Seattle Mariners have done a very, very good job, a very underrated job of developing pitchers and getting them to the bigs and them being successful. The Kansas City Royals showed us it's not just good enough to get them to the bigs. You need them to be good. The Seattle Mariners probably deserve to be in the conversation with the Cleveland Guardians, with the Tampa Bay Rays, with the Atlanta Braves about organizations that can identify, draft, and develop pitching talent with just about any other, like at the caliber of any other top organization in baseball. So the Dodgers in there too. The Dodgers have a ton of great arms in that system. Evan Carter jumped up 22 spots from number 33 to number 11. And I think he's number 10 on Baseball America. So right there, consensus is he's in the right spot now. 2020 second rounder out of high school. Great evaluation job by the Rangers because lost that season, but they spotted them. They went out and got him. 28 games in double A this year. 268, 414, 393, 4 home runs, 6 total extra base hits, 26 walks to 29 strikeouts, and 5 of 7 on stolen bases. Plus hit tool, some of the lowest swing and miss in the minors. Doesn't quite have the eye of an Edward Julian, but close as far as being able to draw walks, being able to make good contact. The exit velocity is up this year. That's always been the question for Evan Carter. He plays a pretty good center field. The speed is plus. The question was always going to be, could he maintain that speed and that defensive acumen as he added strength? He has so far been able to do that. He's slumping a little bit in May. He's 6 of 42 right now in May. 5 walks to 14 strikeouts, 2 for 2 on stolen bases. But his April was absurd. He had 18 games in April, batted 343, 500, 543. 4 home runs, 6 extra base hits. All of the home runs and extra base hits came in April. 21 walks to 15 strikeouts and 3 of 5 on stolen bases. So a little bit of a bump right here in the month of May for Evan Carter. But even despite that, he has a WRC plus of 125. It's the 5th highest for any double-A player that's age 20 or younger. So, very impressed with what Evan Carter has done. Hope he knocks it, he gets out of this slump soon, and you could see him, if he starts hitting again, you could see him in triple-A by the end of the year. In just a minute, we've got some guys who fell down this list, whether it's because of injury, ineffectiveness, and then Kumar Rocker got done dirty, and we'll explain that next. But first, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at So Rare. It's a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace. You own the fantasy experience. You can collect the player cards. You buy, you sell, you compete using these cards against global opponents. The higher you are on the leaderboard, the better the rewards you get. But win or lose, you own your cards and there's no cost to play. You go to sorare.com/lockedon. It's sorare.com/lockedon. You draft your team of free player cards. You set a lineup. You start competing today. You have to have a 7-player team, a starting pitcher, a reliever, a corner infielder, a middle infielder, an outfielder, an extra hitter, and a flex that can be anybody but Shohei Ohtani. And you get points, positive or negative, based on how they perform. And again, at the end of the game week, you usually get a new card. You can swap in any card once a day for a different card. They give you options, which position do you want? They give you players that are the same caliber as who you're trading in. And then the better you finish in the contest in that game week, which there's two per calendar week, you can get rare cards, you can get game tickets, merchandise, signed jerseys, VIP experiences, tons of fun. I'm really loving So Rare. I'm having a great time with it. I've spent absolutely nothing on it, and I've gotten some pretty cool stuff out of it. So, SoRare.com/LockedOn. It's SoRare.com/LockedOn to draft your team of free player cards. Set your lineup and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, SoRare.com/LockedOn to start playing today. Okay, wrapping up the MLB Pipeline Top 100 update. Talking about the guys who fell off this list. Real quick for the everydayers, tomorrow's show, we are talking about some of the recent debuts. Matthew Liberatore was called back up to start on Wednesday. We've seen position player prospects, Matt McClain, Casey Schmidt, things like that come up. So we're going to cover those guys on Friday's show. But looking at guys who fell off this list, kind of like we did with the Baseball America list, we can drop it into, we sort it into different categories. Three of the biggest droppers, 50 spots for Daniel Espino, right-hand pitcher for the Guardians, 31 spots for Cade Cavalli, right-hand pitcher of the Nationals, and 28 spots for outfielder Chase DeLauder of the Guardians. Those three are all because of injury. Espino dropped 50 spots, has a shoulder issue, going to be out for, the entire year. Cade Cavalli, I believe that was Tommy John, so obviously out for the entire year and probably a little bit of next year. And then Chase DeLauder, draft pick from last year, has a foot or toe issue, still has not made his major league debut, and he was drafted in July last year. So, a couple guys dropped on the list because of that. A couple other guys dropped because of ineffectiveness. 28 spots down for Elijah Green. We covered that at the Baseball America show, but his strikeout rate's over 40%. It just looks really ugly. We knew he was going to struggle like this. We didn't know it would be this bad. And so, he's got plenty of time. He'll be able to figure it out. He just is going to need some more time. Gavin Cross and Jacob Berry are two guys that they singled out here for big drops. Both of them dropped 20 places. Gavin Cross goes from 52 to 72. Jacob Berry goes from 51 to 71. So Gavin Cross, the Kansas City Royals outfielder, 32 games right now. I believe he's in high A. Yeah, 32 games in high A. 197, 268, 362. Three home runs. 14 extra base hits, 10 walks to 45 strikeouts, and 7-7 on stolen bases. So, spent a little bit of time in low-A Columbia last year. Strikeout rate was around 25%. You didn't love it. You knew that in college, he didn't get a strikeout rate below like 15 or 20% until the final year before he was drafted. And so, you knew it was a little bit of an issue. It's up this year in high-A Quad Cities to over 30%. He's been slumping, but if you want to feel better about how Gavin Cross is doing, the last 7 days, he's gone 6 of 20, 5 extra base hits, and he is doing pretty well against lefties. He's not struggling as bad as you'd worry about with lefties versus left-hand hitters, or left-hand pitchers. 32 at-bats, small sample size, but 310, 375, 448. No home runs, but 4 doubles. 2 walks to 9 strikeouts. It's against righties where he's really struggling. 110 at-bats, 163, 236, 337, 36 strikeouts to 8 walks, although he does have 10 extra base hits, including a triple against them. So, Gavin Cross struggling a bit there. And then Jacob Berry of the Miami Marlins went from 51 to 71. He's also in high A. He's gotten 23 games. He had a finger injury, so he missed a little bit of time. 175, 192, 320, 2 home runs, 8 total extra base hits in, again, 23 games, 2 walks to 28 strikeouts, 2 for 2 on stolen bases. We knew that his swing was a little long, right? And so we knew that there were going to be some potential issues when he faced quality pitching. I didn't necessarily think it was going to come up in high A Beloit. I thought it would be double A before you'd see him really struggle. He struck out 23 times in 33 games in low A Jupiter last year. I kind of expected him to hit pretty well in Beloit and be in double A by middle to later part of the year, but he's just struggling with this. To make it worse, his defense at third base is not good. Fielding percentage is under 900. We knew it was always going to be a long shot for him to stick at third, but he looks significantly worse than we thought he was. And so the question becomes, how long can they just let him play third base and be bad? Obviously, you can let him sit there in high A for forever, but it's like, how long is it going to take him to figure this out in high A Beloit at age 22? So looking a little bit rough. In retrospect, I'm not going to say he wasn't worth the number six overall pick. He does have plus power, but maybe it's something where when you don't have really any defensive value either, it makes even more pressure on your bat has to work. Five guys fell off this list completely. Jackson Jobe of the Detroit Tigers, the pitcher, was 53. He's off. Wilmer Flores of the Tigers was 83. He's off. Gordon Graceffo, the pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals, was 68. He's out. Catcher Drew Romo of the Rockies, super great, like fantastic defender, was working on offense. He went from 73 to off the list. And Brennan Davis went from 84th, the outfielder for the Cubs, 84th to off the list. He came back from the injury, hasn't quite had the power show up in AAA as of now. A guy that got done dirty by MLB Pipeline is Kumar Rocker. So you had some, as you have guys graduate, they pop in, they replace people. 4:14 p.m. yesterday, there was a tweet from MLB Pipeline that states that Kumar Rocker is being added, due to graduation, Kumar Rocker is being added to the back end of the top 100 prospect list. Congratulations, Kumar Rocker. At 5:35 p.m., they reply to their own tweet and say that given the news that he has to have Tommy John surgery, he is being removed from the top 100 prospect list. Kumar Rocker gets an hour and 21 minutes as a top 100 prospect. And then they pulled him right back off. And the wild thing to me is the news had already broken from MLB.com's Texas Rangers beat writer. She had already tweeted about it, and I think had written a story already about Kumar Rocker needing Tommy John when they announced on Twitter they were putting him on the list, just to turn around and take him back off an hour and 21 minutes later. Poor Kumar Rocker. Get well soon, buddy. We'll see you in 2025. One more show coming up this week. Reminder, mailbag on Monday. If you have questions for the show, I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Show's on Twitter at Locked On Farm. You can email us, LockedOnMLBProspects@gmail.com, or drop your questions in the Locked On MLB Prospects Discord. Links in the episode description, links in the show notes. Until tomorrow's show, remember, it's always a great time to pay a minor leaguer.